There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, here we are. It's another Tuesday night here in northeastern Oklahoma on a horse ranch in a horse barn. Today's date is the 29th of October, 2013. And it is just about 1 minute and 40 seconds after the hour of 8 p.m. And speaking of time, everybody, want to make sure that we do make kind of a big deal of this, because next week's show will actually be starting an hour earlier for so many of you that are outside of the United States. Here in the United States, we do a time change. We set the clocks ahead an hour in the spring, and at the very beginning of fall, we set the clocks back. We refer to it as spring forward, fall back. And next Sunday night, the 3rd of November, we set our clocks back an hour, which means for some of you that whatever time you listen to the show, wherever you are on the face of the planet, the show will actually be starting 1 hour earlier. So please take note of that. And so you don't freak out and wonder what's going on next week. And I'll be mentioning it at the end of the show as well. So remember, November 3rd, we set the clocks back here in Oklahoma in the USA. So for some of you, instead of the show starting at 8 o'clock, it'll be starting at 7 o'clock. Okay, hope I made that clear. And speaking of change, not just the time change, but if I asked you to change your shoes, you'd sit down and you'd slip off whatever shoes you have on and you'd put another pair on. If you're watching TV and somebody says, change the channel on the TV, well, when you change the channel, it's a completely different network, a completely different show. It's like a whole new world. People like to change their hair color. People change their clothes. I mean, it's for us here in Oklahoma, we're going into winter, so there's no more short pants. There's flannel shirts and jackets, and people are thinking about firewood for their wood stove and their fireplace. So we're changing from our summer clothes and our lemonade and picnic tables, and we're changing to flannel shirts, jackets, firewood, and hot chocolate. But interestingly enough, in Scripture, it's all about change. It tells us in a million different ways that to become close to God and to be really a true blue official Christian, it's all about change. And this seems to get lost. Because, Jim, you'll be talking to people and they'll literally say, help me change my mind. Or I don't know how to change. And they don't realize that there are clues all over Scripture that talk about change.
Yeah, they have even asked me at times to pray for their mind to be changed. For instance, change my mind, do something about my mind. And even just recently I had that, and I had to ask myself the question, you know, what can I do but that to share truth that they're going to have to be responsible about? And so when I look in the scripture, I can see things like Paul praying that we would have our hearts and our minds would be flooded with light, or God would move upon our hearts and our minds for understanding. And so that's the kind of prayer that I would be able to pray. But what it leads me to see in people is a real interesting ability to listen anymore and really not have the skills of application. It's something that's basically gone from most people. So they can listen to something that's full of application and come up right afterwards and say, okay, what do I do? Well, it's like the whole sermon, everything we got through sharing was about what you can do, how you can apply this to your life. So we're talking tonight really about thoughts and about the quality of your mind being disciplined to stay fixed on something that's of God and not wander upon this world. Because if you really think about it, look around you and look at the common trend anymore. It's to be so busy that you actually feel like you get badges or you get extra points for being able to multitask. And for most people who can't multitask that want to, what does it really mean? It means greater distractions. It means their mind that's not able to be fixed upon any one thing never has the ability to bring something to pass. So it's like starting 10 different fires but never having any of them last. And this is something I see now on a regular basis in the buildings that we go, in the places that we preach, in the churches that we go. This is what I see on a regular basis with people. And it's very concerning.
You know, there are so many clues all over in that book that are real. I mean, think about this. It literally says if you're going to say something bad or negative, just to make sure you don't, let's just go ahead, just cut your tongue out.
Mm-hmm.
If you think you might look at somebody and criminally or in just a bad way, you might give somebody a dirty look, you know what? Just grab a stick and just poke your eye out. And, oh, yeah, by the by, if you're thinking about stealing a blueberry muffin, just go ahead and whack your hand off.
Right.
This is very telling. Number one, it proves that Christ really isn't too concerned about the flesh, about your body. That the real tangibility of Christianity is not being height, weight proportionate,
right,
or having a fake suntan or some type of plastic surgery, or even being 300 pounds. It's an emotional, spiritual feeling.
Right.
For every action, there's a reaction. And that's where people don't see the connection of there's nothing good of the flesh, there's nothing good of the world. If your body is in the world and Scripture's telling you to poke out your eye and cut your hand off, obviously there's an important message there.
I see part of that message being that God knows that the best thing for your body is to literally dismiss the importance of it and become a spiritual being, because then there would be nothing wrong.
Well, think about that woman who crawled on her hands and knees.
Right.
Now, she didn't say, I can't wait to meet Jesus. I have to talk to Jesus. Jesus has to love me. Jesus has to turn water into wine. No. Her entire thought process was, all I need to do is touch the back of Jesus' wranglers.
Right.
As long as I can touch Jesus' wranglers, I'll be healed.
Right.
That is nothing but emotional and mental and spiritual. And look what Jesus said. He said, you know, somebody just touched the back of my wranglers, but I don't know who it was.
Right.
I don't know who touched my blue jeans, but somebody did, and it went right to my Father.
Right.
Well, he's backing up what this woman did, saying it has nothing to do with me or who I am. It's just about who we know we are.
Yeah.
It's emotional. It's mental.
Yeah.
It's spiritual.
Yeah.
This is everywhere. And, you know, if you were to tell somebody, you need to change the way you walk, they'd say, well, what do you mean? And they says, well, I'm 48 years old. I've been walking this way my whole life. There's a certain heel to toe, so many pounds of pressure on your heel and so much on the ball of your foot, and your toes move in a certain way,
right,
and
right.
Your arch and your ankle, and you're just walking. You don't even think about it until you trip or stumble or you slip. But if I said, you have to walk this way.
Sure.
You literally wouldn't be able to walk and chew gum because you would bite your tongue or the gum would fall out of your mouth because you would literally be so focused and so concentrating and so committed and so absolute that you would literally have your chin buried into your chest because you would be watching your feet as you walked to learn and to watch
how to walk differently.
How to walk differently.
Which speaks totally about how brand new it is and totally how you're letting go of everything you knew about what you were before. And
yes.
That's what I see about cutting the hand off or cutting the tongue out or poking the eye out, that Jesus is saying, this thing is so radical from one world
and
to the other
absolute.
World.
Absolute.
It completely. And this is why I've got a scripture here, Matthew 22:37 to 39. It says, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. I like that because look at the emphasis he's putting on it. Love God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. There's nothing left.
Right.
Everything about you is poured into this.
See,
and this is some of what I see here. Again, it's all a spin. There's all a manipulation because even people that will talk to you, and this is what I get on the road, you'll talk to them and they'll say, well, I do love the Lord with all my heart and my soul and my mind, but here's the problem I'm having. And then the but comes in, see.
Well, it's like, let's just stay with the walking. You go to this place every Sunday morning because it's a new way to walk. They're singing about walking. They're praising the new walking. And everybody is happy. And they say, oh, yeah, we're new walkers. This is the way you walk now. But yet, they walk to the place with the old walk. And when they leave, they're still walking with the old walk. Even though they're bragging, talking, enjoying being the new walkers, they're not putting it to practice. They're not taking it to heart.
Right.
They're not making that change. So in other words, and I mean this the way it sounds, who cares if you call yourself a Christian? It really means nothing that you've been baptized. It means nothing that you've had communion. It means nothing if you go where to worship if there's no tangibility.
Right.
If there's no commitment. Who cares if you call yourself a new walker and you say you walk a new way and you buy new shoes if somebody takes a video of you and they say, you've walked this way since the day you were born.
Right.
You haven't changed.
There's no new walk.
There's no new walk. Yeah. Because the way you know there's a new walk is it sounds different. What sounds different about a Christian's life? If your prayers aren't instantly answered and you're waiting for a healing or a manifestation, or you're listening to a radio show to figure out how to be closer to God, that is very telling that you've got some adjustments to be made.
Right.
In other words, a change, which is repent. How can you change and how can you be humble if you don't know that the way you're walking in this world isn't really the walk of a Christian? And if you don't have the walk of a Christian, how in the world can you walk with Christ?
Well, even what you said there, it sparked something in me, which was to say this. If the majority, the high majority, 9.9% out of 10 people have to go somewhere to have help from somebody that's studying, that's preaching, that this is their lifestyle, to give a message to other people like myself, this is what I do. if everybody has to go to hear something, what does it say? It says about their life, there isn't enough absoluteness for themselves to actually begin to go themselves. So they have to rely on somebody else to get there, which just shows you that the whole system is, it's acceptable to not really have any tangibility at all and to be a part of the system.
There's a small little structure building about 25 miles west of the ranch, and it's an older place where people have been worshiping for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody asked me, they says, would you like to donate money for this? And I go, for what? And he says, well, such and such place, and the minister, he's got health issues. And so we're asking everybody to donate to help offset his medical bills. And so we're asking everybody to help. And I says, how come he hasn't asked God for help? He's a man of God. He's supposed to have a building packed to the rafters with God.
Right.
Why isn't he asking God for help? Why does he need my help? I don't even know him.
Good question. Did they say anything?
Yeah, they just said I was an ass like always, and you know.
Huh.
They says, do you want to give a dollar? And I said, I would rather give a dollar to a drug addict than this situation. Because if I give a dollar to it, then it means I'm supporting the misinformation.
You're buying into it. Sure.
That's when they got quiet.
Because they'd already given probably more than one.
Well, but hey, we got our first text message. Folks, if you want to text message the show, it's easy. The first word is now grace. That's right. I finally got it to work. G-R-A-C-E is how you spell grace. And what you do is you just type that. Like our first message says, Todd and Cheryl are listening. Just got tuned in. Great show so far. Love the Walker concept. So that means that really what they typed was grace. Todd and Cheryl are listening. Got another text that says, hi, from Nick in North Carolina, tuning in while running Crossroads, all stocks and Sunfresh scratch grains. That's our feed guy at the warehouse.
Yeah.
He's on his forklift going crazy. Hope he doesn't tear any bags. Folks, if you want to email the show, the way you email the show is the name of the show, The Abiding Presence. No capital letters, no spaces, just all one word. TheAbidingPresence at gmail.com. We love emails. We love text messages.
And the information or the instructions about that texting is now on the show.
It is. It's there now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's real good. Hey, I've got a scripture along these lines of what we've been talking about. It's over in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 9, and this is in the Message Bible. This is really good. Just pay attention here after the first verse. It gets real good. It says, He, Jesus, was sheer weakness and humiliation when he was killed on the cross. But oh, he's alive now in the mighty power of God. We weren't much to look at either when we were humiliated among you. But when we deal with you this time, we'll be alive in Christ, strengthened by God. Verse 5. Test yourselves to make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along, taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. Isn't that good?
It is good. I like that.
Yeah, and I like this comment here. Don't drift along, taking everything for granted. To me, you know what that says? Don't let your minds wander. Keep your minds fixed on God.
Yeah.
Why would you allow your mind to be so distracted that you lose your focus or your connection with the Lord?
Once again, look at the book. If you look at Genesis, they focused on the apple. Why did Noah have to build a boat? Because people lost their perspective.
Right.
They were focused on the world and not their Christianity.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, it says about Noah before God, you know, put Noah in the boat and all that took place. It says the people of that age were evil continually. There was no let up. It was 100%.
And what they mean by evil is of the flesh and of the world.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they were, that everybody was killing and lying. It just meant that they were not Christian-like. They were not living a Christian life. They weren't Christians. They weren't connected to God.
It also says this to me. It says that no one was taking responsibility for things not being good and coming up with an individual idea.
Yeah.
Except Noah. He was the only one.
We got an email here. It came in 6 days ago. It says, "Hello, men of God. I've seen Reverend Jim Huckaday 4 times in Newton at Grace Family Church."
Newtown.
Newtown?
Yeah, Newtown, Connecticut.
Okay. "And I cannot get enough. You totally make me laugh out loud, and I love the message on grace. Thanks for putting your show online. Looking forward to hearing more, living in him, and challenging myself more every day to chuck wood into the spiritual train. God bless, Christine."
That's good.
That's
good.
A nice message. You've got another email here that said, hold on a second. Where'd I go? I pushed the wrong button on my rat. Was it rat, mouse, whatever? It says, "You can answer this on the air. I don't care. I love listening to Jim and BJ on The Abiding Presence, and I've heard BJ talk about his other radio show. So, BJ, I found lots of your videos on YouTube, and I saw where you had folks in the barn freezing a tumor off a horse, though I only watched the third video. So how is the horse doing? Is the tumor gone?" Yes, the tumor's gone, and it was frozen off. Used liquid nitrogen.
Yep.
And so thanks for watching some of those videos. Got another email here. It says, remember the lady that was visiting Buffalo, New York, and her daughter had triplets?
Okay.
They were born.
Oh, that's right.
3 babies at 24 weeks gestation. They each weigh just a smidgen over 1 pound. Needless to say, we have been in a whirlwind of events the last 4 days. And I guess they're doing good, and the spirit and works of miracles amongst us. Thank you for your due diligence and encouraging us in this journey of grace. And this is from Keisha. So they've been praying and worshiping and seeing the benefits of it. Then we got one here. It says, "Hey, Jim and BJ, I realize I've been rapid-fired emails lately, but I have a question this time. Since the topic is a little personal to some folks who may be listening, don't bring my name into it. A lady in our church building," that's what you put, church/building, good for her, "recently passed away from cancer. Of course, everyone is happy that she's now feeling better in the arms of Jesus, but we hated to see her physical life cut short. I was discussing with my mother-in-law about the things I've learned about grace, and she said to me, 'Yes, but I'm a nurse, and I've seen all through my career where people believe God for their healing and still die. And everyone has to die at some point. How does grace fit into that? What do Jim and BJ have to say about the fact that every human being has to physically die at some point, and it's usually a disease that does it? Basically, she's saying that there are people who believe in grace who seem to be believing right and making the choice to trust God, but still die. It's a stumbling block for her and a lot of folks at our church/building.
I'll answer that to start with.
Go ahead.
Well, number one, I think it's really sad. This is a sad email, in my opinion, because the fact that it actually is a stumbling block shows you how poorly we have done with conveying the true Christianity that would help people to have great confidence so that when they do believe God, they actually receive results. The idea that people are dying and most of the time it's with sickness is nothing but the examples of this world. It has nothing to do with God. And even through the Bible, you can find that when people died, that they died wonderful deaths where they didn't die of sickness and disease. Like the old patriarchs, they'd call everybody in and say, "I'm going to get ready to go today at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's been great being with you. Love you all." And they'd pray over their sons, and they'd pray over their family, and then they'd curl up their legs and they would just go home. They'd just go on over. Well, death isn't supposed to be through the jaws of hell. It's supposed to be through the gates.
I see one issue here that this email and this nurse is basing everything on the flesh.
Well, right. It's her experience.
Through the medical profession.
Sure.
The other thing is if in the book, if you look chronologically, there wasn't a lifespan for Adam and Eve until they started making apple cider and applesauce and
correct.
Apple turnovers and apple butter and, you know, what else, you know, carameled
right.
apples
right.
for Halloween. You know, once they started jacking around with the apple tree, then all of a sudden the wheels came off the wagon.
And even then, people lived over 900 years.
And every time that God has made a quote-unquote course correction, kind of like the old kid's toy of an Etch-a-Sketch, that box with the two knobs that you could draw pictures, and then you shook
Shake it,
and then the screen was clear.
Right, right.
Okay, well, first time he shook it was Adam and Eve.
Right.
Well, then things were going bad with Noah, and he shook it again.
Right.
Things were going bad with Moses, so he shook it. And then finally, the greatest shake of all is the book of Revelation.
Correct.
But if you look at the growth of humanity, mankind, as civilization has progressed, as man has become more modern, more technologically, more advanced in his living in the flesh, in the world, the lifespans have actually gotten shorter. No more multiple wives with 500 kids.
Right.
Every time that he's, quote-unquote, shaken the spiritual Etch-a-Sketch and started humanity over again, he's also drastically dropped the age.
Well,
wouldn't you? It's literally like God saying, you know what, Adam and Eve, don't worry about it. We're just going to go. Okay. Well, let's see. You know, after I flush the world and I just saved Noah and all the animals, I don't think we better go with this 900-year thing anymore. Because that seems to be just 900 years of capacity to screw up and not lead a Christian life. So we better cut this back. And look at what, and see, and here's another thing that people don't look at the sacrifice of his own son. How old was Jesus when they screwed him to the post? He was a young man. He wasn't that
33.
Old.
33.
So what does that say? It literally says, my son has been with you for 33 years, and you're still not getting the message. I guess I'm going to have the snot beat out of him, nailed to a fence post, and then I'm going to have him go to hell for a sleepover for a couple of days before the poor kid can come home. He's showing that it isn't about time, that it's not about the body, it's not about the flesh. It's about your own ability to have a relationship with Christ. Because the closer you are to God, the more grace you have in your life. And when you have those two things, there is nothing else. And if you bring anything else into the picture, or if you think anything else is important, then you're not getting the message of Christianity.
That's good. It's real good. And I was just going to back up with some scripture here that's exactly what took place with when God made the course correction with Noah. Things went, you know, at that point, they were living 900 and some years of age, which is on another topic. It's an amazing thing when you think that the body actually was created to be able to sustain itself basically forever. Like you said, before Adam and Eve got a hold of the apple, it wasn't even a part of age wasn't a part of it. It had nothing to do with it.
No, there was no, there wasn't an expiration date.
Right. And when things took place here with Noah, then the interesting thing was God cut that time down to just 120 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty big cut from people living 900 and some years to 120.
And people can't get there now. Why? They're diabetics. Why are they diabetics? Because they're overweight. Why are they overweight? Well, because they don't exercise and they don't work for a living. I mean, they don't work for their food. They don't toil the soil.
Right.
I can't tell you how many farmers and ranchers that were in their 80s and 90s that smoked like a train and drank like a fish, and they were still doing chores every day. And you've got these people that sit in a cubicle with a headset on, punching a computer screen, and they're in their 40s having bypass surgery.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, do you know anybody in Boise, Idaho?
I do. Yeah, it's my brother-in-law.
It says listening from Boise. That's all it says.
Okay. Well, it might be Mark.
We have no way of knowing because it doesn't show. Folks, we don't. If you text the show, the first word that you use in your text is grace. Like this one would have been grace listening from Boise. And so we love emails. We love text messages.
You know, not to get off a subject here, but this is still.
We
really,
never do.
We don't. We actually don't. But this is actually a good thought. I know someone that did a study on longevity. This is pretty cool. You know, just looking at all the different things that add up that are similar, you know, with people that live over 100 years of age. And exactly as you said, there was not, it wasn't like the manner of their life. I mean, these one person is smoking a cigar every day. Someone else is eating eggs with bacon, hog fat on everything, you know, every single day. The number one thing that was consistent with all of them is they were people that were very, very low maintenance, nothing bothered them, no care.
Right. It, you know, and I'm basically a hermit. I don't, you know, right. You know.
Sure.
The only thing, you know what I like about humanity and people?
What's that?
Is that they make potato chips and candy and chocolate milk and, you know, they make shopping carts for me to carry that my snacks around in at the store and they pave the streets to make it easier to get to town.
Sure.
That's why I like people. Other than that, not so much.
Well, that's good.
But, oh, and speaking of thanking people.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, the big bag of popcorn.
Todd and Cheryl.
Oh, And why did they give me a big I mean, we're talking like one a bag you stuff.
A garbage bag.
A garbage bag. And it's probably, what? You said it was from a movie theater, and then you said this was the sweepings off of the floor of the popcorn.
Oh, no, I didn't say that. No, he just made a couple batches of it fresh at the movie theater and just stuffed it in a big old garbage container.
So thanks.
And you know why we got it? Because last night was my mom. Today, my mom turned 80, and we had a little party for her last night with some of the Healing School people that came over.
Really?
Yeah. So that's where Todd brought that to that little party. And
well, that's kind of nice.
Yeah. So she's 80 years old today. So Ranger will have to bark extra loud for her.
We will. And then also, I got a card with a refrigerator magnet and some. Candy from Diana.
Yep, she's very nice, and I
did get it, Diana.
New Jersey.
There was only one piece in the box, but I guess that's all I get. No, it was. It was a full box.
It was a full box.
And then who gave the Rice Krispie squares?
Todd and Cheryl.
So Cheryl gave me Rice Krispie squares. And Todd gave me popcorn. And Diana gave me what do we call it? What's it called?
Butter crunch.
That's right.
And, man, that stuff's good. I forgot. We got cookies. I didn't even bring those.
Oh, see, folks? there's always a catch to this, man. See, and this is what's funny, right?
And they're really good Heath Crunch cookies.
Okay, let me tell you a story, right?
I don't think there'll be any left by the time we get home.
Yeah, did you hear this, folks? Okay, he brings the popcorn, he brings the butter crunch, he brings the Rice Krispies.
I forgot all about that.
And then he says, you know, I have to go home because I forgot my backpack with my computer.
I did.
He literally came to this ranch twice today, and all of a sudden, the delicious cookies didn't make either trip. And you see, this is what I... This is the burden.
It was really good too.
This is the cross I bear. See, he keeps saying how really good the cookies are, and he comes twice to the ranch without them. And you think I'm making this up?
Yeah. Well, I did 3 out of 4. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Really? Because it might be good for the flesh of the world, but it's not good for a Christian.
No, but here's the deal. Honestly, I did forget. I forgot all about the cookies, or I brought some.
You know why you forgot the cookies? Because you don't think about me or the ranch.
Hey, I was so busy trying to make sure I brought everything that I forgot my computer and my backpack. I had to go home for that. So this goes back to the mind, doesn't it? Talking about the mind, talking about thoughts. Kind of
sure.
Fits in, you know?
I'm sure it does.
You can become absent-minded in things. No, I'm not.
I remember to be here every Tuesday. The barn's open.
Very good.
Door's unlocked. You can come into the barn. You know, boy, folks, you know, thank goodness that I have a relationship with God, because if my ability to gather and enjoy food was up to you, I would have been dead from starvation 2 years ago.
Yeah, maybe so. Well, there's some really good thoughts here, and I want to open up some more conjecture here about thoughts. Think about this if we go back to Genesis. You know, God and Adam, Eve, they're walking around. There's tremendous conversation going on, fellowship going on, and the greatest of tangibility, God is so real to them. They do have human bodies, but they're just living right out of their spirit, out of their heart. Their mind is tuned into God. We know what took place. BJ described some of that earlier about their mind then all of a sudden became focused on an apple. But think of this. The communion with God before was tremendous, and they were hearing the voice of God so explicitly. And then as soon as sin took place, the Bible shows us that something happened, and it did. God said, when you eat of this apple, in dying you shall die. In other words, there'll be a separation between you and I because of sin. It'll become a wedge. It'll become a wall between us. And it'll cause us to lose our fellowship spiritually. But here's the interesting thought. They still didn't lose the ability to fellowship with God on the mental level. Because even though they were sinners, when God came into the garden, and Adam, of course, is hiding, God said, "Where are you, Adam?" And Adam said, or in other words, Adam recognized what God said. Eve recognized what God said. And if you take it a step further, in the fourth chapter, Adam and Eve have two sons now, Cain and Abel, who must be, according to the responsibility they gave them to tend the flock and to keep the fields, they must be at least teenagers. And they're hearing from God in complete sentences. So it goes to show you that the mind is very important. And this isn't mind science at all. It's all about the spirit. But the mind can be against your heart, or it can go along with it. And with our hearts now having fellowship with God, it's important that our minds are fixed on the Lord. So this is what I want to coin this phrase and see what BJ has to say about this. I think it's a good way of saying it. As much as we want to renew our minds, look at the power of the unrenewed mind. Because here are individuals that were not in fellowship with God, and yet they were hearing God. And today, supposedly, we're in fellowship with God, and hardly anyone is hearing God. So look at how things have changed, and how our minds have accepted the misdirection of our day. And it's very difficult for people to get quiet enough to hear God.
Now you bring into the equation the statement in the book that talks about those who preach will be judged more harshly. In other words, teachers should be held to a higher standard because they're the captains of the ship of education of children.
Oh, that's good.
And so if you have a teacher that doesn't understand math or can't count, or can't read because they're dyslexic, then really the message that they teach children,
right,
because they're a sponge, it's not clean, clear water. The water is murky or salty or dirty. It's what's being passed along. It's like a row of dominoes. So if you're going somewhere to worship, and that person has turmoil, that person does not have a legitimate, tangible connection with Christ.
It's hard to pass that along then, isn't it?
He can't pass it along. All he can do is pass along the stories and promise. I've heard it's like trying to tell somebody how to cook a hamburger. All they can do is say, well, it tastes like this. It's supposed to taste like this. It's supposed to look like this. But they don't have one themselves.
Sure.
You know, it's like one of the biggest insult to women is when a man says, "Well, I know that childbirth is tough." And a woman will say, you'll never know.
Right.
How could you know?
Sure.
You don't know what it's like because you could have children. Until you can have a child, shut up. You know, it's that way with a lot of things. People say, well, I know how difficult it is. No, you don't know how difficult
right.
it is.
Right.
You know, that, and so many times that's insulting and it's actually disrespectful. Well, that applies because it's basic math. It's just logical, makes sense. If you've got a building full of 300 to 400 people and they're collectively praying to help each other and nobody's seeing anything positive happen, well, the testimony isn't that they know how to worship. The testimony isn't that they're good singers. The testimony is they don't have it.
Right.
That's not a place you want to go to become connected to God.
Yeah.
Because there's not a connection there. Because if there was a connection there, you would know it. I'm here to tell you, folks, when grace is in your life and the guys are talking to you, you know it. You don't know what time it is. You don't know your name. You don't know whether it's 12 noon or midnight, but you sure as hell know that God's talking to you.
Well, I've got a verse here, I think, that goes along with some of that in Titus chapter 1, verse 15. It says, to the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. I'm going to actually go to the Message Bible and see what that says. That's a good passage of Scripture.
It is, and while you're going there, folks, we need some more emails. You can email the show at theabidingpresence@gmail.com. You can text the show. The first word of the text now is the word grace, G-R-A-C-E, grace. And then type out the rest of your message and send that to 69302.
Now, when I get to reading this in the Message Bible, it's going to be interesting. There's a part here where you may feel like, well, it's when it talks about minds that aren't thinking correct, he's not talking about Christians that are saved. But here's my point. Things have so changed in our day and our age that when I get ready to read this, you're going to see that the mind here that's not thinking correctly can be just as much a believer as it would be an unbeliever. It says here, everything is clean to the clean-minded. Nothing is clean to the dirty-minded unbelievers. And that's the point where things have changed so much. People that call themselves Christians, people that have a start of salvation, doesn't mean their minds are clean. And it goes on to say, they leave their dirty fingerprints on every thought and act. They say they know God, but their actions speak louder than their words. They're real creeps, disobedient, good for nothings.
You know, one of the best things that I think someone can do, and I've never said this on the show, but I've said this to people privately, face-to-face, or on the phone, or through an email or something, is... instead of asking for God's help, ask yourself if you're a Christian. Because communions and baptisms and going someplace to worship on a regular basis, that is the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg.
Mm-hmm.
If those superficial beginning things are what you anchor your Christianity on, you're sadly mistaken. And you're also being deceived, and you're missing out on some amazing, wondrous feelings and experiences. It's literally like starving to death, and, you know, you go by a fast food restaurant, and it always smells good, you know, because they got those blowers blowing through the roof so the air smells good to make you hungry.
Yeah.
People don't know that, but, you know, that's what they do. You know, so you drive by and you smell French fries and a cheeseburger and it makes you hungry. It's a shame the food doesn't taste as good as it smells.
Yeah.
But it's like smelling that. And that's all you ever get to do. Because think of it, being reborn and accepting Christ as your Savior, that is literally the beginning. It's like walking into your house and saying, you're my dad, you're my mom, and I'm part of this family.
Right.
Okay, talk's cheap. If you're a member of this family, take out the garbage, clean your room,
right.
Do some laundry, help cook, help mow the lawn. Because to be part of a family means what?
Responsibility.
And accountability.
Right.
Because sitting on the couch watching television isn't exactly being an active part of the family. Well, worshiping and singing songs isn't exactly being a active member of the family.
Right. You know, just it wasn't too long ago, I had even one of the pastors, and as far as a good guy, a wonderful guy, but, you know, he was challenging me on a bunch of things, and he didn't like the fact of us talking about the difference of whether or not, you know, we're real Christians. And he said, I don't like the words there. I don't like that you're making Christians, people, question their Christianity. But there's nothing but everything through Scripture, really, and everything Paul talks about in the epistles is all about getting people to question their progress and to question whether or not they're really in versus being out, whether they've made a real decision or whether they haven't made a decision. Questioning your Christianity is very simply doing an acid test. In other words, doing an examination of yourself, proving whether or not what you believe about Jesus has any testimony to it. And if it doesn't, you need to really ask yourself the question, is this real to me? And to what degree is it?
We got an email, came in about a minute ago. Remember, folks, we love emails. It says, great show. This is Eric from Florida. And it says, I've been looking for grace each day and thanked the guys recently for a free lunch when I ended up being so busy I forgot to eat. I would very much appreciate if you would pray for my kidneys to be healed. Well, this is a complete you know, if you thanked them for food, why can't you thank them for your kidneys?
Same thing.
Yeah, I don't know why we need to be involved in this. Although, that is my favorite kind of lunch, free.
Well, something that I've seen recently, and this is part of the reason why we are endeavoring to help people begin to put their feet forward and move forward. And, of course, according to what kind of conviction they have in their heart, whether or not they're actually going to do something with the grace of God. But, you know, beginning to recognize God's presence in your life and then beginning to actually work with God about your life is how you begin to actually build credibility, or the better word would be build tangibility in God. And this really goes back to exactly what this man is asking the question for, is saying that, hey, I recognize God's grace in a free lunch, but now I need help for my kidneys. So really, if you look at this, the kidneys actually have more tangibility than God's grace. And this really has to be turned around, people, in this world. Because right now, for most people, most Christians, in fact, think of how tangible medical science is. You don't have to change. You don't have to do anything. You can just go to someone that's going to stare at you and talk to you and give you a good feeling about the success ratio that they put before you. Even if it's not great, you still have tangibility with them. So you tend to lean on them and give your money and literally give your life to them. And then God's right there, supposed to be as tangible and more tangible to people than the doctors, than medical science. And we turn our back on God. Because of a lack of what? A lack of realness.
Yeah.
And this is one of the huge problems I see with everybody. People don't have confidence in their own relationship with God.
You know, the story of me being paralyzed, a paraplegic, and then walking, someone came up to me and they said, I can't believe that you hit your surgeon on a golf course. You knocked him out. You punched him, and you knocked him out when he thank God he operated on you so you could walk. I says, he told me I could have a wonderful life in a wheelchair.
Right.
And I says, I told him that I was going to learn how to walk, and as soon as I did, I'd beat the snot out of him, and I did. They says, well, that's not very Christian-like. And I says, well, you know, as I walked off the golf course, I said, thank you, God, for letting me walk and beat this guy up. I appreciate the help. Thanks. Amen. And they just rolled their eyes, and I says, I'm not going to thank him. I'm thanking God for realizing there is a God and allowing me to walk and to do better things.
Well, what I get out of this, which is a little sometimes different than what maybe you get out of it, but what I get out of it is this, that you were able to see clearly enough and differentiate between somebody using God and keeping you in a wheelchair or keeping you paralyzed, that you were able to see through that. Because how many people would have just accepted it like a welcome mat and then just laid down and begin to just over in their mind begin to think, how am I going to make it?
He literally told me that I'm on the board of my church, and I've got the whole church praying this Sunday that you're going to have a wonderful life as a paraplegic.
Right.
You'll be fine. And I looked at him and I go, you're kidding, right? This is like a joke. And he was serious. And he said, then he patted my leg. He goes, I know you can't feel this because you're paralyzed and you have no feeling from the waist down, but thank God I was at the top of my class as a surgeon. And he walked out of the room. And I looked at the nurse and I said, one of these days I'm going to beat the snot out of that man. And I'm going to walk up and do it. And I'm going to walk away with a big smile on my face. And she says, well, from what your friends say about you, I think you might just do it. But the determination to become a Christian, you know, you said it before the show, and you need to elaborate on it, that in our day and time, on the 29th of October, 2013, and it's about 8:52 p.m. here in Oklahoma, when people don't know what absolute really means.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what committed means. They don't know what conviction means. I mean, they can quote the dictionary. They can tell you how absolute this is, or how committed, or how what this is, but at a drop of a hat, there can be something come up that negates that.
Yeah.
No matter what it is, over the span of my life, I can't tell you how many times people said, I'm committed to this, whatever it takes, how much money it takes to fix my horse, no matter what it involves, I'm absolute. I'm committed. And then a week or two into it, they say, well, I didn't realize it was going to take this much effort.
Hmm.
You know, I just can't do this.
Yeah, I've heard, you know, recently because of our show and the things that we talk about, I guess it causes me to be maybe more aware of it. But just listening in normal conversation with people, excuse me, I find people using the word absolute. In fact, some use it so with such passion. You say something, oh, absolutely, absolutely. And yet, if you look at them and the way that they do life, there's really not much about them that's absolute. So again, if we went back maybe even a couple years ago to some of the shows we did at the beginning, look at the play on words. Look at the manipulation of words. How things aren't always what they're said, what they're meant to say. How the world has twisted words until we've lost the meaning. And this is really important, especially when you look at the word absolute. take some drinks of water. While Jim's taking some drinks of water, folks, text messages, we love them. The way you text the show is the first word is Grace, G-R-A-C-E, Grace, and then type the rest of your message and you send it to 69302.
And emails, we got some emails that have come in, and it says, hi, this is Bob. I've heard the show several times. You guys are pretty good. So I'll share something with you I heard a preacher say, that we should fear the wrath of God, and judgment is the way to draw people to God. And if we preach the message of grace, that will just encourage us to sin more, and they will be sent to hell and lose our salvation. So I guess if we strike out three times, we're out, which I disagree. I think this is a perfect testament to what a lot of places subscribe to.
Sure.
You're bad, you deserve to be bad, and you better just snivel and roll up into a little ball, feel sorry for yourself, and say, I'm a sinner, sinner, please God save me.
Right.
There's nothing in Scripture that talks about that. It's just the opposite. It talks about how great God is. We're made in His image. If we're made in God's image, why would God want Himself to go through such a horrendous, ridiculous thing?
Sure, sure.
He doesn't. That's why He says we can do greater works than Him. We're made in His image. He says He's the Father, and we're His children.
Yeah, well, Jesus took the judgment.
Everything about Christianity and Scripture in the book has to do with make your own choice. Once you make that choice, it would be great if you stuck with it, because there's all kinds of coupons, two-for-one deals, and get-out-of-jail-free cards, otherwise known as grace, in your life.
You know, I've had people, BJ, talk to me, and some of the comments have been along this line. After preaching some of the things that we've preached and the things that we're even talking about tonight, somebody can look at this and look at it incorrectly and think, well, you guys actually are making some people feel really bad. Well, no, if there's anybody feeling really bad, it's because we're helping people to see how much we have mixed the message of grace and God's love and who He's made us to be and what we're supposed to be experiencing every single day with God becoming very tangible. We've mixed that with the world and with the flesh until people don't have the pure. They have what's muddied. Or in other words, according to Revelation chapter 3, they're lukewarm. They're spinning in circles. And when you begin to show people how the world has done this and modern religion has perpetuated it, then that becomes very sad. It's not we're preaching a message at all that brings sadness to your heart as far as condemnation. We're preaching a message that helps people take responsibility for choices. And that's the part that people don't like today.
I think it's very easy to use semantics and twist words. I don't care if someone is mad or sad. If they're mad or sad, I'm actually happy and elated about it. Because what does it mean when you're upset? It means that you realize...
Well, you're confronted, first of all.
It means that you've come to terms with the fact
That's right.
that something is wrong.
Right.
You know, I've never seen anybody that was really elated and happy to find out that someone lied to them. I never seen anybody that was in a hurry to get anywhere and they're really happy and excited and pleasant to find out they've been going the wrong direction.
Right.
But as soon as they find out what the truth is, as soon as they find out that they're stopped going the wrong direction and now they're going the right direction, there is an emotional lift off of their shoulders.
Sure.
They become calm, relaxed. And there's a certain empowerment and personal satisfaction that now they've got it right.
Yeah.
That's repenting.
Yeah.
That's what God talks about. If you think you're going to say something bad, don't. Stop. Repent. Say something pleasant or just keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
So if somebody says that this show is making them feel bad or mad or sad, it means that possibly they're sitting there wondering, have I got it wrong? Is there another direction for my energy towards Christ?
Yeah, that's good.
Is my worship, what I'm worshiping, is it effective? Well, those are sobering questions.
Yeah.
And how can you have a humbling experience before God without realizing that you've done something wrong? To keep it all pleasant, or to keep it all good, or to keep it all bad, that's the pendulum swinging too far to the right and too far to the left. Because the realization is, feel bad so you can feel good. Repent the error of your ways so that you can do things in a Christian way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I like that explanation. Really good. Over in Philippians in chapter 2.
Where? Philippians. You made that one up. Is that really in the Bible?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's something called what?
Philippians chapter 2.
Okay, I'll believe you.
Yep, the whole book of Philippians. So anyhow, I'm going to read a little bit here, folks, because this is really good when it comes to the mind. It says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Then in verse 5, I like this. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Notice it says, let this mind be in you. So you have to let it. These things we're talking about means that most likely, if you're not thinking this way, you need to begin to think this way. You're going to have to literally, like we've been talking about, learn to walk a different way. Learn to think a different way.
I had to. Remember me telling you, you asked me what it was like to go home, what it was like to be with the guys, and I said it was really depressing and sad?
Yeah.
And some of my first words are, the people have no clue how wrong this place is.
Right.
And how sad and off the mark the world really is. And how ridiculous and stupid our lives really are. Because if you read Scripture, it's supposed to be. Because if this world in the flesh is supposed to be cherry Kool-Aid and Rice Krispie squares falling from the clouds, well then in Scripture where it says there's nothing good of the world, there's nothing good of the flesh, really kind of loses something.
Yeah.
You know, and if the flesh is so important and the world is so important in the life we have, well then it's a slap in the face to Jesus to go through what he did. Because everything that happened to Jesus, it was not about Jesus. It was about the body and the body being in this world. There was never a punishment or a distraction, or excuse me, there wasn't a punishment and there was no deterrent to the essence of who Jesus was, the child of Christ. The only really thing that happened was to show that the body and this world is not all there is. And that it has nothing to do with your relationship with Christ.
Yeah, this is a good thought here. And I'm thinking as you're talking about 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to find that here in just a moment, where Paul makes and alludes to the fact that the natural mind doesn't understand these type of things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And this is what he said. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ? I think this goes along with what you're saying too, that spiritual things are for our spirits, but we've never learned that. I remember Brother Hagin making a comment years ago. He said, we've taught people intellectually in our higher learning instead of teaching them that they're a spiritual being.
I think that We just got a text that says, how do we go home? When you have a connection with God and you know that God and grace is in your life, you are home. It's like one cup of flour, half a cup of sugar, one stick of butter, two eggs, a teaspoon of baking soda, 350 degrees in a cookie sheet, and some nuts and chocolate chips. It's a recipe. It isn't just one thing. It's a combination of things. It's a realizing that there is a God, realizing that there is heaven, realizing that it's yours and it's been paid for, and you can do with it what you want at any given moment, and then to humble yourself and to repent and to change direction and to welcome God's love and God's world and ignore this world and this life, and you're there. The choices that you make and the life that you lead dictate the recipe on you going home and being with the guys. It's individual. One of the problems with organized religion is they take the individual choice out of it.
Yeah.
It literally sucks the responsibility, because if you're sitting on a chair in a room with hundreds of people and everybody is doing the same thing at the same time, it literally negates the personal connection and personal responsibility to be a Christian and to humble yourself and repent your direction.
Right, right.
It's literally like a little kid when mom says, well, if all your friends jumped off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff?
Don't you think that going home, and this is what I found, and maybe this is because the religious background that I have versus what you had, but don't you think going home, we overlook, or we try to make it more than it is from the standpoint of we miss it. It's right in front of our face.
Well, I've always said that words like supernatural, miracle, miraculous, are all terrible words for Christianity. You know, because they make it sound special,
right?
That it's unattainable. It's like a winning lottery ticket,
yeah.
Or it's like finding $100 bill on a sidewalk
instead of normal or natural.
Because think about it, we're born with it.
Yeah,
it's like somebody walking up to you and saying, "Oh my gosh, you've got two ears."
Yeah.
And you go, everybody has two ears.
Right.
Oh my gosh, you heard what I said. Well, that's because ears pick up sound. Wait a minute. Not only do you have ears, but you can hear.
Yeah, they work.
So is everybody's.
Yeah.
Everybody has it. They're born with ears, and the ears work. It's pretty common. See that rat over there? It can hear, and it's got two ears. You're making a big deal out of nothing. Why not say thank you and just leave it at that and go on?
Yeah.
Now apply this to Christianity.
Sure.
Why make such a big deal about Christ? Why make such a big deal about heaven? Why make a big deal about grace? And instead say, thank you very much for the gift. I'm going to use it all the time. And I know that you will replace it. It has a lifetime guarantee. And there's more than I could ever possibly use. And thanks for that as well. Let's get down to business.
Right.
And let's
right.
use it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, look at what you just said in the last 30 seconds, the analogy you gave, and this is all about how you use your thoughts. It's not like we don't have thoughts, but how are you using them? And look at how the focus of those thoughts, how accurate they were, versus taking your thoughts and sticking them on all the scriptures that you know, which thank God for scriptures, but using them for scriptures and not getting out of the scriptures the very meaning that you're supposed to get out of it. And I guess maybe it just made a lot of sense to me while you were saying that, but it just really does have so much to do with making it bigger, making it more than it is, bypassing it by trying to make it religious, when it's supposed to be so natural to who you are as a spirit being.
Yeah.
Going home is just a joy.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah.
It think of it this way, Jim. Let's get real personal for a second. Other than you not giving me any cookies.
The cookies, yeah.
The cookies. Yeah. Once again, it's down to cookies.
Right. Three out of four, it didn't work, did it?
Yeah, you know, yeah, great. Think of it this way.
Do you know most people wouldn't have mentioned the cookies?
That's because they didn't have them. I'll tell you what, if you were to give listeners cookies and all of a sudden they didn't get them, we'd be flooded with text messages and emails. Where's the cookie? I want a cookie, Jim. Why do you steal all the cookies, Jim? Where are all the cookies? Yeah.
Makes me think.
Now I know why you have all that gym equipment in your house, because you steal everybody's snacks.
I have to work out.
You have to work out extra hard. If you just shared, you wouldn't have to exercise as much.
Yeah.
I like this train. I like this. This is going good. I like this conversation. But think of it this way. It's like one of your daughters all of a sudden waking up tomorrow telling you that she's going to cut school because she's got to make money to pay for groceries because she feels an obligation to do so.
Mm-hmm.
You would actually be hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And you would say, well, don't you think I love you enough to put food on the table while you're going to high school?
Right.
You know, there, because it's family.
Sure.
You know,
it's just what's expected.
Yes. It talks about how it's there. Ask and you shall receive.
Yeah.
All of your sins are forgiven. You're made in my image. And when it talks about that you're going to do greater works than me, they're not referring to you turning water into eggnog for the holidays. Mm. They're saying the greater works than me means that it will take more of your energy, more of your focus, more of your conviction and commitment to tap into grace and Christianity. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I do not have the distractions that you have. Yeah. I do not have the distorted hyperbole, hypocrisy, religious doctrine stuff that you were born into 2,000 years after me.
Yeah, you got something there? Because I'm going to give some scripture here in just a bit.
It says, hey, fellas, I have found that more... Let's see. Let me start over. Hey, fellas, I have found that the more I can acknowledge the fact that I am a spirit, the more I can evaluate every thought, decision, and choice from the right position. It then becomes easier and easier to dismiss and not participate with things that are of the natural or of the world. It literally allows a flood tide of grace to pour in. It's everywhere. My family and I are having everyday normal believer experiences constantly. Symptoms and dramas are being dismissed as we soak up the Father's presence.
Yeah.
This is from Steve Morgan, listening in High Springs, Florida. You know him.
Yeah.
Is this the Steve I met?
Yeah, it is.
Why do I always have to ask that question?
Yeah, I don't know. You do every time, though.
I do.
Yeah.
He must get tired of that.
Well, maybe he enjoys it. Who knows? Hey, here's some good scripture here. And it all goes back to what we've just been talking about, especially about the thoughts. And look where it brings us. Over in Philippians, that book that BJ asked me about, to the church at Philippi. So you thought I made that up, didn't you? So you turned your head. I got it.
What the what?
The Philippians. It's the church at Philippi.
Okay.
So verse 12, after the mind, and he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So that's changing the way that we think and letting this wonderful experience, even what we've talked about here about going home, experiencing a greater tangibility of God. Think about it as the the example that he gave about a father saying, well, it's to be expected that I'm going to take care of all your needs. Well, that's how God thinks about us. It's to be expected that he would take care of all our needs, make us in his image and likeness, make it so easy for us to have a clear picture and clear understanding, a very tangible relationship. So down in verse 12, it says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. I've got a couple translations here that I think you'll really like. It really spells it out so much more. It says in Way's translation, it is God who is all the while supplying the impulse, giving you the power to resolve, the strength to perform, the execution of his good pleasure. Notice how much God is involved in helping you to experience him. Listen to it in another way. It says in Weymouth's translation, it is God himself whose power creates within you the desire to do the gracious will and also brings about the accomplishment of the desire. So look at this. God's in you, creating in you desire to complete his will or desire to experience him, ability to know him, ability to have a tangible relationship. You're never on your own. And this whole work of God's grace isn't about you just making choices. Just turning toward the Lord and wanting to make the right choice, having the desire to make it, and then beginning to step toward the Lord with a right choice is nothing but having God overwhelm you with his ability. It's all about God's ability. It's not about your willpower, the strength and conviction just of your natural person. It's of your spirit.
Glory be. Amen, brother. Amen, brother. Amen.
I could see something in your eye and knew I was about to hear something.
You know, the guys have, you know what the guys do, you know.
Yeah.
The guys have me watch these satellite TV things.
Yeah.
And these people jump up and they say things like that.
Big hair and lots of makeup and
all kinds
of clothes.
And I've always wanted to just jump up and say, glory be, you know, amen, brother, amen. So I just thought I would do it. But yeah. You could tell it was coming.
Yeah, I saw it in your eyes.
Yeah, just because, you know.
Because you're anticipating the last word I was going to say and then just, there it was.
About 3:45 in the morning last night, there was this person.
You're up at 3:45?
Yeah, I haven't, today's Tuesday, right?
Tuesday, yeah.
I haven't been to bed since Friday.
Hmm.
We've had a lot going on at the ranch, the guys have been doing a lot, so yeah, I haven't slept since Friday. You know, I'm telling you, I'm going to go for the record, you know, Jesus didn't have a sandwich for 40 days.
Right.
I can beat that. I'll beat that 40-day thing. That cracks you up, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's good.
All right, we got an email here, and I like this. Do you remember that the lady named Sarah that's in Korea?
I do.
That talked about back scratchers?
Yeah.
Okay, she says, hi, I like this. It says, hi, BJ, Jim, Ranger, and the horses.
Hmm.
Now she's including it. It says, thanks again for such clarity on the importance of God's grace. Recently, I became the owner of a small horse farm here in Korea.
Well, that's why she mentioned the horses.
Yeah, it says, horse farm in Korea. It says, and it was totally the result of God's grace. I'm hoping to use my horses and land to reach out and help the community here.
Hmm.
One thing I have learned is how many people, even some of whom are considered close friends, have so much disbelief and doubt that grace alone will support the many things that this farm needs. One thing God's grace has certainly taught me recently is to focus on Him and that the hard work is essential, yet so rewarding, like the metaphor of being part of the family. We have accountability with our chores, but the sense of love and family and sound mind within make every chore worth it. Not to mention sometimes the chores are fun. So focus, focus, focus. Laugh out loud. Thanks. Sarah from Korea. P.S.
I like that a lot. That's really good.
Yep. Says P.S. BJ, the hand scratcher is on its way. Sarah, that other radio show I have is about horses. And www.stall13.com send me some information and send me some photos, and I'll talk about it on next week's show and see if we can't get some people to help you out.
That's
with,
good.
What you need. And also, there's a Facebook page about the radio show with my name, and it's all about horses. Check it out, and you can make some connections with some people that are horse advocates that like to help people that are doing the kind of stuff you are with horses.
Hmm.
Now, see, this is Grace.
Yeah, sure.
See, if somebody wants to know what Grace is about, this is Grace.
Well, just look how she included Grace.
A woman in around the face of the globe. How far is Korea from Oklahoma? What, 200-300 miles?
At least.
Okay. Well, let's say benefit of the doubt. Korea is 500 miles from the ranch. Okay, she's in Korea. I'm in Oklahoma. Okay, she finds the radio show. What are you laughing about? She finds the radio show. One of the guys on the, and it's from a horse ranch.
Right.
And one of the guys has a radio show about horses. And then she gets this horse ranch. And she wants to do good with it, so Grace gives it to her. Folks, if you wanted to see what it's like to see Grace, this gives you an example of what you are. I'm here to tell you, everybody that is listening to this radio show, somewhere, somehow today, Grace availed itself to you, and you missed it. Now, that doesn't mean you're stupid. It doesn't mean that you're going to burn in hell. What it means is that Grace is always there, and you're so busy with stuff that you think is important that you didn't get to appreciate Grace.
Yeah.
And what it does and what it can do.
Well, what I like about her show compared to what we're talking about tonight or her email is how her thoughts are centered around Grace at all times.
If you can't recognize Grace in the world, if you can't recognize Grace between other people, how would you recognize it in your own life?
Mm-hmm.
How would that work? That doesn't even make sense. Because it's all or nothing. I think this was good.
I do too. Yeah, really, really good.
Good luck, Sarah. I like that. Good luck. Oh, it's about time. It's about time. It says, great show. You have stepped on, great show. You have stepped on our toes numerous times, and we love it. We are gluttons for change. Say hi to Ranger since we have heard her shake in the background several times during the show. Woof, woof. Yeah, you can hear my dog. You can hear Ranger shake because she's got about 10 to 12 metal dog tags. And the reason she has those is so the horses know the difference between Ranger and stray dogs. They know Ranger jingles, and so also I know where she is at all times. So, yeah, that's what you're hearing. This is a kitchen counterpiece. Where's all our other regulars? Tuesday night must be, you know, half off at the bowling league or something.
Hey, I've got a good scripture here in Philippians chapter 3, and it says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things.
So read that again.
It said, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things.
See, once again, there's nothing good of this earth.
I'm going to find that in the Message Bible here.
While you're looking for that, we just got a text that says, I love that, BJ, Grace availing himself to us. Cheryl. Do you think that's a Cheryl for the Rice Krispie Squares?
Yep.
Thank you, Cheryl. Folks, the other thing I want to mention during the show while Jim's looking that up is today's date is the 29th of October, 2013. Now, next Tuesday night's show, which will be the 5th of November, there's a time change here in the central part of the United States. And so for so many of you, like Sarah in Korea, you'll have to log on an hour earlier if you want to join us for the entire length of the show, because on November 3rd, this coming Sunday, all the clocks in the central part of the U.S. are being turned back 1 hour. So we won't no longer be on daylight savings time. We will be on quote-unquote central time. So make sure to make note that the first show in November, we will start at a 7 o'clock time for so many of you who do not change your clocks. For you on the West Coast in the United States, instead of there being a 2 hour time difference, there will be a 1 hour time difference.
Right, right.
And so we've mentioned it twice. I wanted to make sure because, you know.
Well, it's good. Hey, I found this over in the Message Bible. And let me preface this by saying in the King James, you could tell that what he was talking about is individuals that actually were trying to persecute the message of Jesus Christ. So these aren't people that, you know, would be even good religious folks. I mean, these are people that really are hating what's going on. And you say, well, why would you bring that up in relationship to talking to people that want to know things about increasing their relationship with God? The answer is because it says right here, they set their mind on earthly things, and you can see the destruction that takes place. So if it works for someone that doesn't know God, what would it do for somebody that did?
Yeah, that's good.
It works the same destruction. So here's what it says in the Message. It says, verse 17, stick with me, friends. Keep track of those who you see running this same course, headed for the same goal. And in that, he's talking about running for the goal of putting Jesus first in everything that you do. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is Easy Street. They hate Christ's cross. But Easy Street is a dead-end street. Those who live there make their bellies their gods, belches are their praise, all they can think of is their appetites. But there's far more to life for us. We're citizens of high heaven. We're waiting for the arrival of the Savior, the Master, Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like his own. Well, this is good again. It continues to help us to see where your mind is has so much to do with what your actions are going to be. Your mind and what you think on, and we've said this many times before, maybe this will be a chance for BJ in a moment or two here, depending on if he has something to read to comment on again. But listen, the mind has so much to do with your feelings and your emotions. I wonder sometimes if we think that way when it comes to God, because we should. There should be feelings and there should be emotions according to the way that you think about him that make you want to spend your time with him, that make you want to be occupied with the things of your spirit and of God.
We do it every day. And when I mean we, I mean everyone in some shape, form, or manner. I mean, the number one reason why I'm not married and I don't have children is because I've spent my whole life in a pasture or barn with horses. And I chose that. I decided many years ago that it was a lot more pleasant to be around animals than it was people.
Uh-huh.
Now, so what does that mean? It means that my focus, my attention, my energy, I made a conscious choice to choose being with horses and
right
on farms and ranches. So many wives will complain that their husbands spend all their free time. If he's not playing golf, he's watching golf. If he doesn't have his boat on the water and he's not fishing, he's watching fishing shows. And a husband will say, my wife camps out in the spare bedroom because all she does is paint little figurines. She's into plaster of Paris figurines, and that's all she does. She even takes her supper in there so she can figurines. Or someone will spend all day long watching soap operas. Or someone chooses to drink or to use drugs or so many people, which I think is really a shame, but with all these Indian gaming casinos around the country, so many people now have become addicted to, and that's their routine.
Yeah.
To go sit on a stool and push buttons.
Right. Pull levers.
Well, no, they push buttons. There's no levers.
Aren't there on the slot machines?
Well, there might be in the old casinos, but all the Indian casinos that people talk about, that all they do is push buttons. You sit on a chair, they bring you free pop, and you just sit there and you push buttons. Well, anything shows that we have the ability to focus and concentrate and to overlook other things. So when someone says, I don't know how, or I don't think I can give due diligence and to focus on Christianity, that's really just a big load of stuff. Matter of fact, I had a manure spreader full of stuff today, and you met Amy, the cowgirl.
Right.
She was real proud of herself. She filled the manure spreader, she hooked it up, and she spread it out in the pasture and parked and backed all her own today.
Oh, good.
She didn't know I was watching with binoculars. I didn't want her to tear it up. But, yeah, this was her first time of spreading stuff all by herself. She was real proud, too. We do. Because the same energy and desire that someone chooses to put their family or friends or their job into, whether it's golf, fishing, porcelain painting, gambling, whatever it is,
right,
proves the point that everybody is capable of making a commitment and focus to Christ.
Yeah.
Whether someone chooses to make it that their energy, well, that's on them.
Yeah.
And that has nothing to do with this show or you or whether they go to a church or a building. It really does, because everybody is capable of it.
Yeah, I do. And when you say things like that, to be honest, I mean, that's to me one of those moments that I have, and I have these moments often, just looking at people doing life the way they're doing it and not having a clue of what's going on. I have those sad moments. And to me, what you just said is another sad moment, because, you know, there are so many people that they just don't recognize, they don't see the forest for the trees. They just really don't.
No.
And most people don't even see trees. It's just one tree. That's all it is. It's a routine. They don't want any more, because at least they know what they're doing in the routine, whether it works or not. And their thought patterns, they really don't care.
One of the toughest thing that's been on me, and it's on me, I've always taken responsibility, was I've never let anybody off the hook for this. Well, I really didn't mean to do that. I really didn't mean to say that. I was drunk. And I say, did someone have a gun? Did someone tie you to a chair like you see in the movies? And they put a funnel in your mouth, and they make you, force you to drink beer or whiskey or whatever. Well, no. Okay, so you made a choice to take a shower, put on really nice clothes, drive to a bar somewhere, spend money that you really can't afford to drink, and then you drank so much that you lost your common sense and self-respect, and you did and you said things wrong.
Right.
And now you want me to understand, or you want to get off the hook by saying, I didn't know what I was doing because I was drunk.
Right.
And I look at them and I says, that's not me. And then they say, well, you're cold-hearted. You don't understand. And I'd say, no, I do understand. That's why I'm not going to let you off the hook. You're fired. You've lost your job at this ranch. You made bad choices.
Right.
Because now, the flip side to that, let's make it something more, not appropriate, but something more to the heart of your show, Jim. Okay, let me get this straight. How many of these books you have in your house? How many crosses? How many pictures of God? How many bumper stickers on your car? How many hours do you spend praying and worshiping every week? And your back is sore? Your joints are swollen? You wear glasses? You've got a head cold, a cavity? You're scheduled for surgery.
Yeah.
I mean, because what we're talking about is really what I like to call Christian-based responsibility, Christian-based accountability. Because asking someone to pray for you, going somewhere, figuring that that place has a better connection or a more legitimate effectiveness for God, I think is an insult to Christianity.
Yeah, you know, before the show, we were talking a bunch about...
This is harsh.
This is absolute. Yeah, we were talking a bunch
of
even about the government, remember? And just how convoluted things are with the way people are making decisions. And it's on both sides of the scale. I mean, it's not just a party thing here. It's on both sides. Everybody's...
You know my philosophy about political parties.
And everybody's making the decisions now that no one holds anybody accountable to anything. And so, I mean, the common thread now is, oh, I didn't know about that. Well, I didn't know about this. Well, if you're... You know, over that department, you should know about that. See, no one wants to take accountability for anything. And this whole common thread gets passed right down into where people are at today. In fact, one of the things you see very common in ministry is ministers falling through some type of sin concerning, like if it's a man, other women having a divorce, and yet the very next day getting right back up and preaching like nothing went on. That happens all the time anymore, where years ago you had to take a sabbatical. You had to be underneath somebody who submit yourself to someone that would help you to walk through why you had that problem.
See, the exception has become the rule.
Right.
And the rule shows what Scripture was talking about. It talks about, you know, Christ says, I know the Alpha, I know the Omega. I know the beginning, and I know the end. And the end of the book is Revelations.
Right.
I mean, it's not exactly a fall holiday mixer with cupcakes.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's a bad couple of weeks. And the reason is to show that this is an individual's journey and that there's enough information, and if you have a desire to open your heart and open your mind, you will find that you've been wasting your time looking for grace because it's been there since the day you were born.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. Yeah, Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." I mean, look at a verse like that that just helps us to see if your mind is upon the Lord, you put yourself in a wonderful position to have the peace of God in your life, to make good quality decisions. This tonight really came out of me seeing how many people really struggle in this particular area.
And some questions you were asked.
Yeah, very much so.
And I think it's been good. Oh, here we go. They're starting to pony up. Hi from Dave and Barb in Minnesota. So now we've heard from kitchen counter people. Dave, we haven't heard from Sue. We haven't heard from the entire family.
Sue in Livermore,
California. Mom and Dad who live in Morgan Hill, California. And I wonder if it's the brother or the sister, the kitchen counter couple. I wonder which one of them is related to Sue and Mom and Dad in California. But just curiosity. We got another email here. This one came in about 9 minutes ago. It says, "You can mention my name. I love what you are both saying. I'm beginning to recognize grace in my daily life and trusting God for the tangibility of his presence as I am learning to decrease the earthly reality and the body projecting its needs. I'm still in the process of learning this. I'm glad to sense the special warmth in him. Thanks for the show. Really learning so much." And this is from someone named Paula. Well, thank you for that. You know, I think that one mistake, and I don't know who's to blame, and it really doesn't matter, and I really could care less, but I think one of the most terrible, unjust things that happens to people that listen to this radio show is that some way through family tradition, through religious organization, through habit, through word of mouth, the blind leading the blind like a row of dominoes, is that once you've been officially saved, once you've been officially baptized, once you've had communion, once you go someplace to worship, that's all there is. You've got it. I think that's a terrible, terrible misfortune. It's almost a misfortune without any compensation. Because one thing I have learned, and it was the first, one of the first things I learned from the guys, is this. There is no limit, no boundary, no direction. There's nothing that's too much. There's no such thing as too little when it comes to a person's relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
It goes in a direction and it has a flavor and sense that is as personal as someone's socks and underwear. There is no generalization. One person might see rolling fields with trees. Another person might be on a South Sea island with a cool summer breeze. And someone else might be in an ice cream parlor.
Yeah.
And someone else might be floating on a cloud. It's like a parent making sure that every child wears the same clothes. And one of your daughters, you got three daughters, Jim.
Right.
And they're three different ages. And you make them dress alike. You make them have the same cell phone. They have to play the same sports, and they have to get the same grades, and they have to pick the same subjects in school. They all have to have the same helping of food. They all have to have the same favorite color, the same musical taste, the same favorite band, and they all have to be best friends with the same person.
Yeah, that's a lot of same right there.
That's organized religion.
Yeah.
Whereas a loving parent, a father, what do you and your wife do?
Yep. Yep.
She accommodates the meals to make sure that every meal there's something that all five people at the table can find appetizing and appealing.
Right.
You as a father, you spend time with what leisure activities each daughter enjoys.
Correct.
It's like
individualism.
Drew.
Yep.
Drew likes working at the ranch. She likes splitting wood. You want to come out here and split wood with your daughter.
Right.
That shows your love to let your daughter grow and choose what she wants to do and enhance her life by being a part of it. Does that not sound like grace?
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a scripture backs this up here in Hebrews 6. And it's about splitting wood. And it says in verse 1, actually, I thought he'd say something, but he didn't. In verse 1, it says, "So come on, let's leave the preschool finger-painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art." This is in the Message Bible. "Grow up in Christ. The basic fundamental truths are in place. Turning your back on salvation by self-help, turning in trust toward God, baptismal instruction, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. God helping us, we'll stay true to all that. But there's so much more. Let's get on with it." I think that's very good. A great scripture. It shows you that everything that God has given us, in fact, you know, this is really interesting, because if you break down some of those simple truths that he gave, which are foundational, or the King James says, elementary principles of Christ, not many people have actually gone through those principles. But then he's saying there's so much more. Let's go on. And this really does help to identify that everything about God is in the realm of unlimited. No limits and no boundaries to God's grace and God's goodness, God's love and his kindness. It's not just in the saying of it, it's in the experiencing of it. And tonight, I keep on saying this, but I'm just always bringing the thought back to thoughts. What are you doing with your mind? How are you letting your mind just go off on tangents and thinking on a daily basis? Or are your thoughts always being adjusted to God, to His grace, to His kindness, to His presence being with you and available? Kind of like our wonderful email that we got from Korea.
Yeah, Sarah in Korea.
Yeah, perfect example of what we're talking about tonight.
You know, I'm really curious. I wonder what she needs, because the listeners of the show could help her.
Hmm.
They could help her with what, you know, in Korea. They could help her with things. Oh, we just got an email that came in about 1 minute ago. It says, the KFC are longtime friends. Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Kitchen Counter People.
Oh, I got it wrong. I'm hungry.
I saw. I know. I am too.
I just cracked myself up. Well, you know, it's funny because somebody, I went into town today and I was going to get some Colonel Sanders chicken and the line was.
Oh, really?
Wrong. Yeah. So I saw KCF, which stands for Kitchen Counter Folks, and I just put, you know, I just mixed up the words because I'm hungry.
You're thinking about the chicken.
Yeah. I thought, what's this? Somebody's texting me about Colonel's. Yeah. That's Dave and Barb. See, Dave and Barb in Minnesota are good friends with the Kitchen Counter People, which has nothing to do with Colonel Sanders, which means, once again, I don't get any chicken.
No. Unless you bought some.
What do you think? Okay, let me ask you something, Jim. I mean, this was totally out of the blue. I mean, well, we don't ever plan shows. I mean, there's no written notes. It's literally impromptu, off the cuff. But do you think this has gone the way you wanted it to? Is this what you envisioned tonight?
Yeah, I did. And again, I'll just reinstate my purpose for the show tonight, that just helps people to see that in all of, you know, it's not like if you've been around church, if you've been around going to services and worshiping, then you know it's important just through the scriptures, if you've studied, that God talks about meditating day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in His Word. It talks about renewing of your mind and set your mind on things that are above, and let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. Keep your mind stayed on the Lord and you'll have perfect peace. On and on and on we go, and we've actually said a bunch of those scriptures tonight, taking your thoughts captive. So don't just let your thoughts do anything that they want to do. And this is my purpose tonight, because what I'm seeing in people on the road, and as we talk about things, you can definitely see that there's a great distraction in the mind of people. I mean, even to listen to some of the things that we share, and when people come up, because I always ask folks when we're ministering to folks, what do you need and what's going on? And when you listen to people talk to you, you can tell they're not concentrating. They're not focusing on God. And the idea of having their mind maybe in a position to really have intent, let their heart be really involved with what they're hearing so that they can see results themselves, this is pretty non-existent in most people that I talk to. So I really want you to be encouraged tonight. Get a hold of your thoughts. Don't just let your mind think on anything it wants to think on. God is right there with you at all times. If you were hanging out with the coolest person in the world, would you allow your mind just to go places and then basically shut that person out of your life? Or would you keep your mind on what's going on because they're so real? Not only does your mind staying on God begin to build tangibility, but the more you build tangibility, the more you want your mind on God. It works both ways.
Yeah, I like that. That was pretty good.
Good.
You ought to get a radio show.
Yeah.
Paula said, Paula is in Canada, and she says, I'm from Canada. I know there are other listeners from Canada and would love it if they would identify themselves.
Hmm.
See, I like this because how this works. Because isn't this how that group started in New Jersey?
Yeah.
They were listening to the show.
And they came to some of the meetings and began to get others to listen to the show.
Because isn't that where the Butter Crunch Diana
it
is?
It is. It is, yeah.
And how many people do they have now in New Jersey coming together?
Well, now, what they put together for me, they had a good 150, 60, 70 people. But what they have on a regular basis is kind of like my Wednesday nights, about 40 people that come.
And what night of the week do they have that on?
They meet on Friday nights every other week. Now, the nice thing is there were about another 70 or 80 names of people that came that had never come before. So hopefully some of those people will not only listen to the show, but also go back to that Bible study on Friday nights.
It says, listening with Sue. Oh, it says, hello, Jim and BJ, listening with Sue at Grandma and Grandpa's home. Good show. So Sue has traveled from Livermore to Morgan Hill, which is about...
How far?
Oh, about an hour.
Okay.
I don't know. It used to be about an hour, maybe farther now with all the traffic and stuff, but it's not that far. It'd probably be like, what would it be?
McAllister?
No, it's not that far away from the ranch.
Oh.
It'd be like going from your house to the ranch.
Well, is it kind of like what I did tonight
times.
When I went back? I came and I went and I came and I went.
I don't know.
Then I came.
I'm lightheaded because I don't have any any cookies with Heath pieces in them.
Yeah, those were really good. In fact, I don't know if I ate them all or not. I have to look.
Who's to say?
Yeah.
Yeah, shame about those four flat tires on that car out front.
Yeah, it's my daughter's.
That's all right. She's young. She can walk. Oh, you're going to love this. There's a lady in Wisconsin listening to the show right mm-hmm. now. Her name is Bobby. She's involved with a tack and trailer store up there, and she's listening to the radio show.
Hmm.
And she just...
How'd she find it, I wonder?
Well, maybe she's... Well, where's the Creamettes at?
Wisconsin.
Maybe she's a Creamette. Maybe she goes to what is it called? Living Word. Maybe she's part of Sherwood's bunch up there.
Maybe that's true.
In Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Because someone sent me an email. I'm going to look for it right now.
But she's. I said, "Are you listening to Jim's show right now?" And she goes, "Yes, yes, yes." That's so cute. But Bobby, hello. And, yeah, she just friended me on Facebook, I guess, talking about horses and stuff. So, boy, she's got a big smile on her face and a nice picture of a bucket calf in a bathtub. Got to love that. Got to love a woman who puts a calf in a bathtub. I like that. All right. Folks, one last time.
I've never known one that's done that.
So. Really?
Yeah.
I used to have a house that was kind of built on a slope, and so when you pulled up to the house, it looked like it was one story.
Yes.
But if you went down the hill to the backyard, the house was actually two stories, and the basement walked out at ground level. Do you know what I'm describing?
Yeah, split level.
Yeah, what I did, probably one more reason why I've never been married, is I took the entire bottom floor and gutted it out.
Yes.
And I put stalls in. And then people that had like a sick pig or a sick goat or sheep or a horse or like a newborn calf in the dead of winter when it was really cold, I could offer them a heated barn for their sick animals.
Oh.
And so I took the door off the basement and put a loading chute on so that people could back up to my basement in my backyard with their trailer, unload their sick animal, and I would doctor it, and it was like 65 degrees in the basement.
Okay.
When there was 3 feet of snow and it was below zero outside.
Right.
And then as soon as the animal was healthy, I would keep turning the temperature down in the basement until it got acclimated to cold weather, and when it was healthy, they'd pay me big bucks and haul their animal home. I heard the people that moved in wondered what the man was like that lived there because there was all kinds of barns, but yet, you know.
Yeah.
My house sometimes was very aromatic.
I guess, right?
I'd invite somebody over for spaghetti and it might smell like, you know, pig poop.
Yeah. from the day's activities.
Folks, I want to mention this one more time. And the time change next week. We don't want anybody to freak out or get misinformed. There is a time change here in Oklahoma. So the first radio show of November, which will be November 5th, the show will, for some of you, will be starting at 7 o'clock because of the time change here in the central part of the U.S.
Right.
We roll the clocks back an hour. Jim, do you want to say something to music?
I do.
I can't find the button. Hold on. Stand by.
Well, first of all, for the email that came in about an hour and a half ago about the man with the kidneys and all, I just want you to know that we certainly do care about you. And I just pray for you right now that by God's wonderful grace and His precious power, it is the anointing of God, the Bible says, that destroys the yoke. That wonderful glory would just touch you right now where you're at, and you'd see immediately a wonderful change in your body and realize that Jesus is Lord of your kidneys. And you don't have to be afraid, and you don't have to be nervous, but God is right there. And for everyone else tonight concerning the program that we had, it fits right in with the way Paul prayed, that not only would God give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, but He would open our eyes, that our minds would be flooded with light. We'd begin to see things. Hold on to that dearly and realize that God is with you, and it's a whole lot easier to experience God than we've made it. Keep your minds fixed on the Lord and have peace all week long. In Jesus' name, amen.
I thought that was pretty good. That was kind of shorter than what you normally go.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and are you in a hurry to go home and eat cookies?
No, I'm not going to have cookies.
The other thing I think we should do, we really need to welcome all the new listeners.
That's great that people are tuning in.
You know, I always know that they're there, but I don't know if we always take the time to make a big deal about it and to say thanks. And I just think
remind them about the archives and all.
Yeah, we do have archives. The shows are on the archives page on the Abiding Presence website. And also, take the time once in a while if you'd like to. We make a lot of references to things like the Ranger Theory and the Air Theory and Runway Bunnies. There's a lot of letters and things that Jim and I have written on the Abiding Presence website. It's bold print. They're not long. And you might want to check those out because we refer to them on the shows. And we just want to thank everybody that's new to the show and spread the word about the show if they like. And also, I want to thank all the people that email and text and everything. And Christmas, I looked it up. You're right. The 24th of December this year is a Tuesday night.
Okay.
We doing a show?
We'll have a tape show.
Seriously? You're not going to be in town?
I'll be leaving the 23rd.
Oh, you will? Where are you going to be?
In Idaho.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But that's the first show that, you know, I will have left in quite a while.
So it'll be Christmas Eve, and me and Ranger will be in here with the horses and the barn cats alone.
But I'm sure there'll be a lot of cookies for you.
How? It's an internet radio show.
Have you been to the post office box lately?
No, I haven't been there in about 3-4 weeks. I guess I ought to go, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I will. I'll do that. I might do it tomorrow. It's supposed to rain really bad.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to go to town and get some tractor parts.
Okay.
So after I get done at the tractor dealership, I think I'll swing by the post office. I drive by it all the time. You know how I feel about mail?
Yeah.
It's just a waste of time. I mean, no disrespect to the people, but, I just... it's not about the letters from the show. It's just about I'd rather, do something more with my time than go to a post office.
Okay.
So I'm going to be here in the barn with Ranger Christmas Eve, December 24th, all by myself.
Yes, but you'll have our show with you, so it'll be good. We'll do something. We should maybe do something special for the show. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay. Well, you heard it, folks.
Maybe sound effects. Who knows?
Sound effects. What are you going to do? Go, ho, ho, ho.
I think you probably have some ideas.
Maybe so. Folks, we want to thank you for listening, and we hope you've enjoyed the show. I know for Jim and myself, This 2 hours just flies by. Doesn't seem like we've been talking that long.
Always does.
Want to wish a special happy birthday to Jim's mom,
yep.
Ranger. Happy birthday. There you go. Take care of yourselves and your pets. And we'll be here next Tuesday night.
Next Tuesday.
Remember, we turn the clocks back here in Oklahoma. Good night, everybody.
Good night.